Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're watching episode 349 of Power Rangers, Lightspeed Rescue, episode 11, From Deep in the Shadows.
It aired on April 22nd, 2000, written by Judd Lynn and directed by Jonathan Zacher, I think for the first time this season, because his name is clickable.
Yep, that's usually how it goes. He's the, like, producer of the show. So I always feel like he should do a good job, but I feel like historically, sometimes he doesn't.
Yep, sometimes he is good and other times he's not.
But then again, that might be true for everybody.
That is basically just the rule, the law of Power Rangers.
That's how Power Rangers is.
Sometimes it's good, other times it's not.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back and we talk about it, and you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because it's pretty good so far.
Yeah.
So, and today, according to the little Netflix preview, might be meeting a whole new Power Ranger.
It sure looks like it.
So that's pretty exciting. Anyway, we're going to go watch that right now.
Rescue ready! And we're back, and we just watched From Deep in the Shadows.
That's a long title.
There's a lot of words in that one.
Compared to Go Volcanic.
or just like...
I think last week was Rising from Ashes. They didn't even put an article in there.
No, there was no time.
They were saving all their extra words for this one.
The article budget went to this episode.
I guess. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So it's hjakeandjosh.com/MorphinGrid. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Snapple Podcasts, Google Play, Podknife, Podbay, Podbean, Podboys, Poddogs, Poddads, Pod Friends, all of them. All your pods. All your friendly pods. Your friendly neighborhood podcatchers. We can be found there. And if you want to leave us a rating and review, that would be really good for us and everyone else. It only helps people, actually, turns out. So also we're on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some neat stuff in return, including Tattoo Teen Jelly Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes, which we got 3 in the can. We got 2 more that we need to record. I need to edit 3. So that'll be sooner than later.
Wait, does that mean we have 5 more episodes to watch?
Yes. We don't do anything on Mondays anymore. We save all of our shout outs and all that for Fridays. So are you ready to just jump right in?
Yes.
All right. I was not. Hold on. I don't know why I closed the entire app.
Who needs notes? Yeah. We're pantsing this one, winging fellas. It. Put the kids to bed. This one's raw.
Do you think people know that pantsing it means flying by the seat of your pants? Or do you think they think whenever we say pants in it, they we are pulling these ones down around its ankles? We're going to show this episode's butt to everybody.
It's a long day in the water park for this episode.
That sounds like some really personal.
Well, you know those like water park like playgrounds and the big bucket above it fills up with water and dumps out? Well, one of those dumped on me and pulled my pants down.
No! Oh no, Josh. I remember the closest I have had to that, I was like 13, between 11 and 15. I think it was somewhere in the middle there. I was tubing. I don't know if you remember tubing.
I've never been, but I am familiar with the concept.
So you go tube and you get on like a fake jet ski pulled by a boat or like a big tube or whatever. And it's very fun, except maybe you didn't tie your swimming trunks as tight as you could have, and you are just being dragged along the water very fast, and they catch the water, and they just go, whoosh, and I caught them. I caught them with my feet.
Oh, wow.
And, and I just let go of the tube, and I just went into the water, and I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I fell off, and I'm just like trying not to drop my swimming trunks into the water. And also, like, you have a vest on, like a life vest on, but I'm not like a strong swimmer, I would say. I'm perfectly adequate. I can know how to not drown, but that's about as far as it goes. So I'm there like half panicking because, like, what if the life vest doesn't work? And also my underwear is gone.
The exact opposite of a pantsing. Have you ever gone down one of those really tall, like, luge slides?
Oh, yeah.
Those are just for wedgies.
Those are just bullies.
I did it once. First of all, they're segmented, so you go, like, yeah, all the way down the thing at, like, 50 miles an hour. And then you stand up and your whole bathing suit is up your butt crack.
It's trying to cut you in half.
People do this for fun.
Have you ever? Well, I guess we're just talking about water parks today. There's no water parks in this episode. There's some underwater shots for a minute, and we'll get to the episode in a second. But so there, you know those things like the it's called the Geronimo at I think it's at Water Country. It's the Geronimo. Maybe that's just a name for it.
I think I know what you're talking
about.
It's
the big drop. And you get on and you do a coffin pose because you're going to die.
Yeah, that literally just pulls your swimsuit up your butt.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the big, like the longer, just like you get in and someone's like, hey, don't go. All right, go. And it's just like a big tube.
No, those are just terrifying because you can't see anything. And then all of a sudden you're submerged in water.
I'm fine with those. Those are just wedgie machines. But the Geronimos, I cannot figure out the math of why anyone would ever get on one because it's literally like if you slip off and start going forward – you're dead.
You die. I did go down one. It's not a good time. I don't know how the hell I was even talked into going down.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I don't even know what I was doing in a water park on this day.
So sometimes you just find yourself at Water Country. And guess what? You got to have some fun.
My favorite water park ride is the Lazy Man River, where you just lay in a tube and drift until your friend's parents come and tell you it's time to leave.
I like the wave pool. Where it's like sometimes there's a bunch of waves.
Yeah.
Except I don't like when there's waves in the pool typically because I'm very small and they just boss me around. They're always super packed. Anyway, you want to start talking about this episode now?
I think we can.
All right. We start off with Joel being late, much like how we are to talking about this episode.
It's played weird, though. It's played like he's trying to stop something.
Yeah.
Because it's showing Carter getting plugged into a bunch of, like, heart monitors and electro readers.
Yeah.
And he's in a power pose. And Dr. Fairweather is, like, on a computer in the next room monitoring him. The captain's there. The rest of the team is there. And it keeps cutting between this and Joel sprinting,
like, 100 miles.
And drifting around 500 corners on the way.
He's doing that, like, Batman thing where, like, you run and you don't take the turn. You just grab the wall and let it sling you around. And, like, he finally takes his 90th turn and gets in there. And there's a lot... very dramatic. It's very dramatic in here. There's like it's like dark in the room that Carter's in. Everyone's like looking through this window. The rest of the Rangers are there already, and they're just like watching. Joel finally gets in. He takes his hat off like it's a funeral.
Yeah, there is at some point a quick close-up shot of them putting a like new morpher on Carter's wrist
that has an M on it, which we'll talk about the M later. I don't know why it's there. I have one theory.
My only theory only fits the morpher in that it looks like three alternating Vs.
Oh, maybe.
There is straight up an M, though, later. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. So Carter says, titanium power. He starts getting, like, zapped really bad, and it's not great for him. Like, he's not, like, handling it at all. And he's doing that thing where, like, it'll flash the suit on and then, like, go away because he can't, like, bring the power to bear, I guess.
Yeah.
And eventually he just like drops to his knees and the others rush in and they're like, Carter, are you okay? And Joel's like, I got you. Like, it, you know, they're like trying to help him out. And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. And Dr. Fairweather just like takes her glasses off very dramatically and like sighs. Then we cut to the theme song and we come back. Do we want to talk about what this means? Like,
well, I mean,
they're just like, hey, we have a new Power Ranger that we want to do.
He definitely flashes into a new Power Ranger costume for a couple times.
It's wild that they would do that to an existing Ranger. And I get why, because I know that the Titanium Ranger is exclusively American. Like, we'll get zero Sentai footage in this entire episode. But, like, I just don't know why Carter. Like, I get, like, Carter's, like, a good dude, and he's, like, a strong boy, but, like...
he's technically the leader, but so like, they'd be, like, upgrade his powers.
It just seems, A, not very fair.
It's not.
And, B, like, a lot of pressure.
But do you want to just give the most powerful powers to just some new guy on the team?
That's true.
Or do you want to give them to the leader who's currently defeated every monster?
Yeah, I guess.
Or I guess led the team to defeat every monster.
Yeah, he's very much a leader. He's a very good leader.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a better candidate. It's Dr. Fairweather.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she should be the Titanium Ranger. That's not how this episode's going to go, so everyone, I guess, get ready to be disappointed. We come back from the theme song, and Dr. Fairweather slams something on... They're in the captain's office. She, like, slams something on his desk and is like, we have to stop testing immediately. Like, no human can handle that much power. Like, it just isn't going to happen.
Yeah. It was the Morpher she slammed down.
It was the Morpher?
Yeah.
Okay. She didn't see.
Put this under lock and very loose key.
Just one lock and leave the key close by.
Just leave it in there. It's fine. We're so far underwater.
Who's even going to try for it? Stay tuned. She starts walking away and Captain's like, it would have been great. She's like, yeah, it would have been. And then he grabs it and he turns around. He puts it in a safe and he locks it up with a key and he puts a key in a drawer. And that's where it will stay for the remainder of the episode. And then as he puts it in the drawer, he like takes a picture out. He like flips it over and it's a picture of him and presumably Dana.
Yeah.
Do we see the whole picture right now?
We did for like 1 second because he pulls it up and it's like him, Dana's up on his shoulder or something in the corner. And it just like zooms in on his face and Dana.
Okay. And then there's a knock at the door, and it is Dana, speak of the devil, and she comes in with a cake, and he's like, oh my god, I can't believe you remembered. So I'm thinking, it's your birthday.
It's the captain's birthday.
And he just doesn't celebrate it, and Dana's like, hey, it's your birthday, and he's like, oh, you remembered.
He's one of those people who's like, I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if anyone remembers.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like that, or if he's just like, I have a lot of work to do, I don't need to
do a birthday. Well, it's not his birthday anyway.
It's not his birthday at all. It is her brother's birthday. Her brother Ryan's birthday, and he died in a car crash a while ago, so I guess Lightspeed Rescue decided to get very real all of a sudden.
with the gun.
And it's just like, that's just how it is.
Yep.
By the way, that was the episode that went up today, it's 2 episodes ago. I almost just called it a real gun. But I didn't want to spoil the wildest thing on Power Rangers to date. They light the candle. She's like, we still got to make a wish because he can't. It's very sad. They blow out the candles and they make a wish. And Cap's like, what'd you wish for? And instead of saying, you know the rules about everyone knows the birthday wishes, but it's not their birthday, so I guess the rules are different.
And she does say we probably both wished for the same thing, so if mine doesn't come true, maybe yours will.
Yeah, don't tell me what yours is, but here was mine. And just wish that the car crash never happened. And she doesn't say, like, the car crash that killed him.
Right, but come on.
Because, like, it is still a kid's show, presumably, but, like, she definitely just puts it there. And, like, you know what happened. Like, it's not, like, a secret. They're not hiding it. They're just not saying everything that they know. Standards and practices, like, oh, we can't say that.
Right.
So then we cut to later. I don't know if they, like, presumably they have some cake and they leave. I don't know. I don't know what happens.
It doesn't show them doing any cake stuff.
We cut to later, and there's just some spooky underwater shots, like, of something swimming. And then
I didn't see any of the swimming. I saw like the captain in what I guess is the pool room of the underwater base.
I don't think that was the captain.
Maybe it wasn't. It was dark.
Yeah.
And I just saw a mustache. And so
I just remember seeing it. I wasn't even looking that close.
It could have been a shadow. I wasn't looking super close either.
There's just a man. There's a man in there.
Yeah.
As far as I could tell. And then so we go to the lab part of the lab. And there's like that little diving pool that Chad loves, so he can go talk to his fish friends. And he comes up, something comes up through it, and it's someone in a wetsuit.
Yeah, they sling up, like, the flippers.
And just slap him on the ground real hard.
It's like, that man that was in here just left a second ago.
He's an earshot. So then this wet bandit comes in, and he's definitely looking for something. And, like, obviously. You can tell where this is going to go.
Exactly. Like, you know exactly what's about to happen. But every shot is either of this person's feet or from their point of view.
Yeah. So we cut to like a hallway And he's on his way there. Some janitors are like, what if there's people we don't know there? Or something like that.
That's pretty much it. I don't know where they're going.
I think a baseball game. That's just what it feels like to me. But I don't know why this man is Goofy. Like the Disney character Goofy a little bit.
And they told him, I don't know, make small talk with your janitor friend. And he was like, just anything? And they're like, yeah, just whatever. Just whatever. Talk.
He's like, I'm going to do my Goofy impression. And it's not a great Goofy impression, but it's pretty much Goofy from, you know.
It's recognizable.
Kingdom Hearts.
As Goofy from Goof Troop.
He doesn't say Gorsh, but like.
He wants to a little.
I think he wanted to. They're just like, you can't say Gorsh. Disney will sue us to death.
TM.
Wait 2 more years and you can say Gorsh all you want once Disney owns us. Hey, you know what's wild? Disney owned Power Rangers for like 8 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because I feel like they could have done more with it. I feel like maybe there could be a Power Rangers world at Disney World.
It's really, I'm not too familiar with the Disney era Power Rangers stuff, but it feels Same. Like the most coasting era of Power Rangers.
I mean, from what I've heard, there's like a lot of good stuff. Like, well, not a lot. There's some good stuff. There's RPM was the last of the Disney era, and that was basically like, we're canceling the show, so like, do whatever you want. I don't care. Right. But like Jungle Fury, everyone likes Dino Thunder. A lot of people like, so like, I think there's some like good stuff, but then also there's like Operation Overdrive.
Ooh.
And I have seen a lot of Wild Force and there's a lot of Zords, but it's also pretty boring. So I don't know. I mean, also, you know what? Maybe I don't really remember it and people just said it's boring. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's boring. And then we'll love it.
It also seems like that's the time in like Power Rangers lifespan where people were just like, oh, they're still making those.
It was like the new crop, because like this season is the first season that I didn't get toys for that my little brother did.
Yeah.
Because he's 7 years younger than me. So this is 2000, so I would have been 10. So he would have been 3 or 4. Oh, I would have been 10 or 11, so he would have been 3 or 4, depending on when in the year. So like, I know he had the blaster and some toys. And I didn't get any because I was a big bad 10-year-old now.
Well, obviously. Yeah, too cool for Power Rangers.
Way too cool for Powered Rangers. So I think now they're like, all right, now's the new crop of kids who didn't hop on with Zordon are coming in. So like, hopefully they could pick up the slack. And it, you know, it worked well enough.
Right.
But it's just a little weird that like the same people that own Marvel now.
Star Wars
owned Power Rangers and couldn't figure out what to do with it, really. And again, I have not seen a ton of the Disney era, so like maybe it's wonderful. I don't know. So he sneaks into the captain's quarters. The wet bandit sneaks into the captain's quarters and he's leaving like wet. He's like a trail.
He's turning all the sinks on the way through.
And he gets in the captain's quarters and he opens up the drawer, takes the key out, unlocks his safe.
Dripping wet, like
he's soaked.
There's like a swamp monster trail leading from the diving pool to the captain's office that nobody is paying attention
when
to.
When the janitor walks by him, he's like, what are those people we don't know there? They're like, geez, Sora, we gotta beat Ansem. Kingdom Hearts is wild, you guys. And so they walk by, and then they just like the camera pans down, and there's like a puddle on the floor that's like. Not foot-shaped, but, like, what I think they were trying to be, like, it was a foot was here.
Yeah.
And then it just, like, kind of pans over, and there's the wet bandit in a whole puddle. Like, he just got out of the shower and just stood on the floor for a while instead of drying off.
He's dripping like Brock Lesnar 2 minutes into walking to the ring. It's crazy.
It's bananas. So then he opens up he just, like, casually, like it's not even a thing.
The drawer that the key is in is not even locked. He just pulls it open, grabs the key, looks at the picture.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it could lock, but the key is on the keychain with the lock with the other key, and the cat just threw it in there and forgot about it.
Yeah, because he opens the drawer, takes the key, looks at the picture, goes to the safe.
Well, hold on, we look at the picture and we see. Does it zoom in at the picture this time, or is that after he gets it?
It might be after he gets it. But he goes to the safe with the key, and it's just like a Walmart electronics cabinet circle key. It's like, it's nothing.
It's literally nothing. They just open it, and he goes in and he gets the new morpher.
That's the only security on the captain's super secret safe, which is not even behind a painting.
I feel like
it's just in the wall.
I feel like we've seen him with a different safe that had like a number combination at least.
Oh, probably.
Like earlier in the season, they traded
out. That would be too hard to write around. So they just gave him a dumb key.
Well, here's the thing. I thought, because I forgot about the key by the time we got here, I thought he was just going to type in a number and it was going to be Ryan's birthday.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, but that's too subtle. This is a dumb show for babies. So he gets it. He goes back and looks at the picture, and it's Dana on a shoulder, Captain Mustache, and he's holding the hand of a little boy who's doing a big karate kick.
Yeah, he is mugging that kick.
This kid, I don't want to say looks skeletal, because that like he doesn't look underfed. Like he looks fine, but he has these hardcore dimples.
Yeah, he does.
He's doing like a kind of face. Yeah. So his dimples are like popping off, and it looks like his cheeks are all the way sunken because of how hardcore these dimples are. So then we cut to Vipra. Viper is here, and I have something nice to say about her this time, because I think the last time I was like, I need to think of something good to say, and I couldn't, and I walked past it.
We just powered through.
Because if I'm not allowed to repeat, I can't be like, her hair is nice, or she has good abs. Like, I can't keep going to those old standards. This time, I do have one, but we're going to see it in a minute. She is talking to some baddies, which you don't need to. She's talking to herself. Baddies can't respond to anything. And she just, like, concocts a fireball, like a blue fireball in her hand, and throws it at a building.
It's weird because it should, as it goes away from her hand, get smaller as it goes farther away.
I mean, it should, yes.
But I'm assuming, and they didn't think this, they were just like, fireball hits the building and blows up, that's fine. But it has to be expanding at the exact rate that it is getting farther away.
Yeah, it's the reverse theory of relativity.
Because the way it hits this building, it explodes like half of it.
It hits a good chunk of it up in the top, and it's a little weird to see giant explosions happen halfway up big buildings.
Yeah.
But this is the year 2000, so you know, we're a little bit out from that, so they didn't know yet. And then we cut to the Rangers, who are all like scrambling, and they hop into the rescue rover, and they start driving, and they find her in an abandoned building. I guess
it's just like, you know, I guess that's where you start every time when you're searching to check the abandoned warehouses first.
I'm sure there's like a camera somewhere that's like, the fireball came from this one. They're like, let's go to that.
Yeah.
So they show up morphed and they're ready to fight her, and they start fighting her, and it's a pretty good fight. I don't remember anything particular about it.
The only really particular thing I remember is Kelsey kicks one of those like big blue barrels.
Yeah.
So hard that it flies across the room and kills a baddie.
Okay.
And Dana's doing a lot of cool crate stunts.
Okay.
While she's fighting. Dana, again, is the best fighter on the team.
Yeah, it's kind of just the rule right now, which I love.
But Kelsey's a pretty close second in this one, and everyone else just does some fight stuff.
We get here's a neat thing that I like about this this little fight that I did remember, and this is why I didn't see a lot of the fights, because I was writing this down, is that they have their helmets are cameras. We get, like, actual POV shots, not, like, the fake Power Rangers POV shots where, like, yeah, there's a camera somewhere. But, like, an actual, like, from Carter's helmet shot back in the lab.
Yeah, it's on the computer screen,
like,
that they're
of them
watching
it. So, like, if Power Rangers can have mounted cameras, I think all cops should, too. It seems like a pretty easy technology. They beat all the baddies, and they're like, all right, Vipra, it's time to kill you. Get out. Or no, they just say, like, get out of Mariner Bay and don't come back.
Yeah. Don't you come back!
Don't you come back! Remember when Goldar said that one time? And she says, wild horses couldn't drag me away. And this is the thing that I like about her this episode, is that she references the same thing that a song I really like is referencing. So there's that. Wild Horses by the Sundays is a very good song. Why does she know this expression?
I don't know why she's referencing human music.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
the writer just snuck that in and was like, that's for the parents.
I don't know if this is... Because I think the Sundays version is a cover. And
yeah.
She's probably referencing the cover.
I can't remember the original
I don't know.
Artist of it.
Even though to be fair, this is the year 2000. That definitely came out in at least 99. So I think she might be referencing the Sundays. So
oh, maybe.
Here's what I like about Vipra. She might like the Sundays. So then she says, meet your match. And there's a portal that opens up. This big swirling vortex opens up in this abandoned room. And down drops the Titanium Ranger, who was the wet band, FKA the wet bandit.
The original Wild Horses is by the Rolling Stones.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
1971.
That's an old song.
Yep.
I think I've only heard the Sundays version of it then, because it's in the prom episode of Buffy. So,
right.
You know, that's how I learned a lot of music in my formative age. He says something about how he's their worst nightmare. They do a lot of fights. Captain sees the Titanium Ranger. Dr. Fairweather's not there yet. Captain sees the Titanium Ranger, busts ass to his office, and grabs a key and unlocks a safe, and is like, oh, it's missing. Even though I did leave the key within arm's reach of the safe.
You don't even have to walk. You can reach with your left hand, grab the key, pass it to your right, open the safe, and steal the morpher.
This is the equivalent of if it had a number pad on it, if you took some masking tape and wrote the number combination and stuck it to the front.
Yeah, or like stuck that to your desk.
Yeah, like it's
6 feet same, away.
It's under, like you keep your passwords on, like taped to the bottom of your stapler or something. So they start fighting. We cut back to them. Obviously, it's gone. It's on the Titanium Ranger. I don't know why he's super surprised about this. Titanium Ranger has a very cool weapon. It is like a axe blaster, similar to Zack and Adams from Mighty Morphin.
Yeah, but it does switch. Like, you actively like flip the handle out and turn it into an axe or down into a blaster. I think there's a couple more.
I feel like the handle part of it that like it like pulls out. And then the handle part when it's a gun pulls up to be the blade. Because the same like configuration. Or maybe you like bend it. I don't know. I didn't
get a good look at it. He has to do a couple sweet moves to lock it into whatever mode he wants it in.
Here's the thing about me. I love a good blaster that's also an axe. I think that's rad as hell. My favorite weapon in Mighty Morphin is the power axe.
Yeah, absolutely.
By a long shot. So he's too powerful. They are not doing well. Cut back to the lab. Dr. Fairweather runs in and sees this and just goes, oh no. Like, she knows.
Do they call the rescue bird here or later?
That's in a minute.
Okay.
Because they run outside to regroup because they're getting like whips. They run out to the roof that they were just on. And then they call the rescue bird and they shoot him with the unilaser. And he just like blocks it with the axe mode and sends it right back at them.
Yep.
It's pretty boss.
It is.
Because it feels like, I don't want to say like logical, but it feels like there is like a trail. Like it hits the axe and he blocks it and absorbs it and then fires it back. Like it doesn't feel like I just can deflect it with my axe or like whatever. Like it feels like
right. This
is a thing it can do. And for its first time doing that, that's very important to show. Then Dr. Fairweather is like, he's going to destroy them. Like
they're going to die. Get him out
of gonna
there.
They're going to die. And so Cap's like, hey, you need to retreat. And they're like, what? And he's like, get out of there right now. He's too powerful. So they start running. And he's like, this isn't over. Not until you're all destroyed. As they're like running downstairs. And then Diabolico teleports in. It's the first time we've seen him outside of his little demon house. And he's like, yeah. He says something that rhymes on accident.
Yeah.
Something about powers and hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you use your powers, the city will be ours or something.
Something like that. And has Diabolico been rhyming every time? We just didn't notice.
I don't think so.
How great would that have been, though, if he was just subtly rhyming this whole time?
There's no, like, beat to it. He's just rhyming the last words of his sentences.
It's not sing-songy or in iambic pentameter or anything. He's just doing it. So then the Titanium Ranger's like, yeah. And then we cut to the Power Rangers storming into the conference room. Oh, no, that's later.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good scene. That's later, though. They're in the conference room, though. We cut back to them in the conference room. And they're just basically like, well, what happened? And Kelsey's like, someone in Lightspeed had to have taken it. And they're like, but who? And she's like, I don't know, but who else could it have been? Because, like, obviously, that's the much more, like, logical conclusion is that like someone, it was an inside job, rather than like someone swam down and up through our little pool and broke in and somehow managed to find the key in this very well hidden place and then got it.
Although Dana did swim there with an old man once.
That's true. Maybe it was Earl. Earl's the Titanium Ranger. We cut back to the demon lair. Because they just come in, they're like, we need to like figure out what this is. Like, we don't know what's going on or how to do this. So we come back to the demon lair, and there's a guy there. It's just like some dude, and he's like kneeling, and he has the morpher on. And Diabolico's like, yes, now we're going to crush it. It's going to be so good now.
We're going to wreck it.
Viper says something. This, you know,
who knows?
Who knows what she said? And then, just like kind of gets a shot of like they do this thing where they're like blocking his face as if we would have seen him. Which I, when I saw that, when we were watching, I was like, "Oh, that's dumb." But now thinking about it, like maybe they're trying to trick us. Maybe like,
yeah. The problem is there's no other notable characters that we've met it could be except for Brian.
Unless it's
Brian.
Look. The hair is different. But what if it was Brian? By the way, Brian directed Deadpool 2.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is wild.
That's crazy.
What a glow up.
He was a zombie.
He was Franken-Brian. He didn't even know how to button his sleeves. And now he's directing a whole Deadpool movie. Good for you, Brian.
Yeah, he really came around.
Really turned your life around.
I'm glad getting your butt kicked by Chad really put you on the straight and narrow.
So then we cut back to the Rangers. They're just walking around town, like patrolling. They're like in they're in groups. So it's Dana and Carter, Joel by himself, and then Kelsey and
nobody wants to go with Joel. No. It makes more sense for Carter to be by himself.
Well, yeah, but then he doesn't want to leave Dana with Joel.
I wouldn't want to leave Dana with Joel.
I don't want to leave anyone with Joel. So they're walking around and nobody sees anything until Chad and Kelsey are like, oh, I don't think anything's here. And then like this blue, like looks like a shot from a Halo gun, like from like some sort of plasma rifle, like wah-wahs by. And they're like, hey, meet us downtown. We just definitely saw something. So they start running off. Cut to downtown where the Titanium Ranger like crash lands into and like destroys some of the ground.
Yeah, he's doing a superhero pose.
Yeah,
that he stands up and cackles at the city
like a lot. Like he doesn't learn how to laugh from Viper because he's doing ha 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 ha.
I hope
ha, ha, ha.
God, I hope that's not a sign of things to come.
Me too.
Because I've really liked this season so far. So please don't fuck it up for me, Titanium Ranger.
So they get there. They just confront him. They morph. Spoilers. He's still very powerful, and they don't do very well against him. So then, after them getting kind of beat up for a while, Captain's like, Dr. Farrell, we're out of time. You got to send him. And she's like, we haven't tested them yet. And he's like, don't matter. Don't matter. You got to do it. And so she gets on the communicator and is like, Rangers, activate V-Lancers. Okay. So, the reason they're called V-Lancers is because it's Go-Go 5, and 5 is V.
Oh, right.
So, that's why in the Sentai, it's that. That's also, I think, what they're... Because the Titanium Ranger is exclusively American.
Yes.
He has a V for a helmet. I think they're trying to tie in, like, V is just, like, a thing they use.
Yeah.
Just, like, to kind of wrap the motif around, which I like.
Yep. It's
very
good.
The
Titanium Ranger's design...
It's cool.
It's all American. It's very good.
Yeah.
In that it is just similar enough that it fits with the team, but is different enough to be like, that's the sixth Ranger.
Yeah. It's very Tommy.
Yeah.
In that, like, Tommy's just like pretty much like the just the thing, but like he's got a shield on, so it's very different. But like, it's pretty much that. But without being, like, he has a big shoulder piece, you know?
Yeah, he's got, like, big gold shoulders instead of the Cream Saver swirl on his chest.
It's like a stripe.
It's like a gold stripe.
It looks very good.
And his helmet, he's got, like, Rick Steiner earmuffs, I guess.
I think that wraps around.
It does.
Here's one problem. It has an M on it.
It has an M above the visor.
Now, here's the only thing I can think, and I know it's wrong. And maybe I'll check in a second. I don't know. Is the periodic symbol for titanium M? I feel like it's probably like manganese or something. but if maybe that's what they're going for. That's literally the only thing I can think. This is all to say that they...
No, titanium's T-I.
So, well, I can't put T on his forehead. That would look ridiculous.
Time for tea.
It's tea time. They use the V-Lancers against him, and V-Lancers are pretty great. They're just big lances. They got like a handle. It's a V.
Yeah, you can use them in like baton sword mode or make them a big blaster.
Yeah, they also have blaster mode. They do switch to blaster mode after they disarm him, and he's like running for his like gun. They like knock him back. He's running for his blaster, and they switch to blaster mode, and they fire at him, but they don't fire at him. They fire up into the sky, and it all like collects in
it's
one place.
Called like a spectral blast or something.
I think they said spectrum blast.
Yeah, each of them fires their own color in the sky, and they converge at one point and just like rain down on him.
Yeah,
they rain fire on him. It just explodes everywhere around him.
It's the collateral damage is like a little not great on this, but it's very cool. So like it's whatever. But he gets up. Like, they knock him down, but he gets up again, because I guess nothing's going to keep him down. And Carter says, nothing could have survived that. You never used these before, Carter. You don't know that.
They're not even fully tested.
They haven't even tested them.
They're kid tested, but the mothers have not approved.
So, like, maybe a lot of things can survive this. I don't know. So they got to shoot him again, but his visor is up, and this is the entire reason why the Power Rangers have like helmet cams is that Captain sees the visorless it's not smashed.
No, it's up, because in a minute he'll like nod his head and it will come back down, but he does still have like a mask over the bottom of his face.
You only see the eyes.
Yeah.
So there is that, but Captain's like, oh no, and he like is clearly like upset when he sees this. So then there's, like, it's actually, like, a very dramatic, like, actually, like, really tense for Power Rangers scene. Because they're about to, like, blast the crap out of him. And it's, like, the captain being, like, I can't let him, but I should. I can't. I'm just going to have to tell him to stop. And he's, like, don't fire. And they're, like, what? Why?
Carter's, like, I'm sorry. Can you repeat yourself, please?
What am I getting? And he's, like, don't fire. Stand down. And Carter's, like, all right. V-Lancers powered down. And Kelsey's, like, this is our only chance. What are we doing? And so then we...
They're walking away, and the Titanium Ranger yells at them that this is not finished. They need to keep fighting.
Yeah, he's like, come back here. Even though he's, like, stumbling and, like the walking dead.
Yeah.
It's real good.
It is pretty good.
It's pretty good. And then then we cut to them storming into the conference room, like I thought earlier, but it's actually now. And they are... all upset.
Carter basically kicks the door in and is like, what the heck is that?
Why? Yeah. And Joel's like, he wouldn't have stomped if he had the chance. He would have killed us. And Kelsey's like, now he knows about the blasters. He could kill us now. There's no more element surprise. And then Carter's like, okay. All right. Sorry, we were heated. Everyone calm down. Why? And Captain turns around very dramatically.
Like zooms in as he turns around.
It's like the over the shoulder look. And he's like, because he's my son.
And then it zooms in on Dana's face.
Cuts to Dana, zooms in on her, and to be continued.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
What an episode. So, Josh.
Yeah.
I started.
Oh, yeah, you did.
What's the best?
I think them fighting the Titanium Ranger is the best.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I want to give it to the V-Lancers.
The V-Lancers are cool.
Because they're very cool, but I feel like... all of those fights against the Titanium Ranger were... I like when Power Rangers get beat up. It's well documented on this show that we like when a Power Ranger gets beat up.
I like when they get beat up so bad that the scientist needs to make new weapons for them.
Yeah, in like 40 minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Dr. Fairweather.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, I guess she just like had these on the back burner.
I'm sure she's got probably a couple more tricks up her sleeve that are like half developed that she's just not telling anyone about.
So she... I think that's going to be my best, too, is the fights of the Titanium Ranger. What's the worst? Actually, you know what? I'm going to change mine. Changing my best.
Okay.
My best is how that Power Rangers actually managed, not once but twice in this episode, to build drama without it being unintentionally goofy.
Yeah.
Like
that's true.
They actually did the shots and the music. It was all actually dramatic, and it felt very real. So
it was pretty well directed.
Yeah. Good job, Zacher.
Yeah. I'm going to keep mine because I love good fights.
Okay. So the worst? I have one.
What's yours?
The fact that the captain keeps the key for the safe that holds the superpower thing a foot and a half away from the superpower thing.
Yeah, just no concept of security at all in the underwater base, I guess.
There's not even a door on, like, there's not, like, it's not in, like, a
there's a door to his office, but you just open it.
You don't even have to touch it. It just opens when you're near it.
Unless it's a genetic door.
Dun, dun, dun.
Only he, Dana, and the Titanium Ranger can open it.
Can get in. And who's the MVP?
I don't know. The Titanium Ranger?
I think it's the Titanium Ranger.
That's crazy, right? Have we ever given MVP to a bad guy?
I mean, gave it to Astronema all the time.
You're right.
And Divatox and Trakina.
You're right.
I don't think we've given it to someone who is like the monster of the week.
Right.
I mean, maybe we have. Benny can tell us.
Oh, who knows?
He's got a whole list. yeah, I think it's a Titanium Ranger.
I think so.
I think that's who it's got to be. And that's going to do it for us for this episode.
A couple concerns that I have.
Okay, what are they?
One is the only acting we've gotten from the Titanium Ranger is ha 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 ha. Well, that's not true because he did say come back and fight.
And he was talking to Diabolico. He's like, yeah, it's not over till you're destroyed. And those were fine. Every time he was talking to Diabolico, that was good too. I think most of his acting.
And once he's a good guy, he will not be laughing like that.
Yeah. Anymore. I mean, we're presuming he's a good guy, but like he dressed like a Power Ranger. Everybody, come
we
on.
We all know where this is. We know what's going on.
Yeah.
My only other concern is that he is so powerful that the rest of the team won't matter.
I also don't like that, but
which is a hard thing for Sixth Rangers to get the balance of.
Here's the thing about that, because I was thinking that during this episode. Number one, he's American footage only, so anytime they do Sentai footage, he won't be there.
That's true.
So it has to be on the other Rangers. And number two, I think he's just a little bit more powerful than them.
But it was too much for Carter to even like morph.
That's because he had power already.
Oh, he was glowing red when he was trying to morph, so that's good.
And Dr. Farrow said, like, that's too much power for a human to handle.
Right.
So I think it's the Titanium on top of the Power Ranger power.
I'll buy that.
So I think he is more powerful because obviously he, like, whooped them. But, like, I think it's just, like, a differently more powerful and not, like, incredibly more powerful.
And also, Tommy was, like, way more powerful when he was evil than when he was just the Green Ranger. He was still great as the Green Ranger, but he almost killed the Power Rangers when he was evil.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, being evil makes you powerful. That's a trade-off, you know?
My only gripe, really, is that I wish we got at least one or two flashbacks in earlier episodes of Ryan and not that whole thing in this one. I just wish we established Ryan a little more.
If his birthday would have been three episodes ago.
Yeah.
And they just wouldn't have talked about it.
Unless he did die, but their wish came true.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Power Rangers is magic.
I doubt they're going to do that.
Yeah. If that is Ryan, because I mean, like, I'm assuming it is because, like, that's how the Power Rangers story usually goes, right?
We did just say the name of a future episode is Ryan's Destiny.
It is, yeah, there's an
episode or two ago.
Called Ryan's Destiny. And then also, like, you know, it's Power Rangers. You can kind of see the shape of these things.
Yeah.
But what if it's not?
That's true. What if it isn't?
Because we don't know how long ago she was too little to really remember him. So it had to be like, because he's turning 20, it had to be like 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Like a long time ago. So like, If you see a picture of me as a baby and then my eyes now, you're not going to go, oh, that's Jake. And I have pretty decent blue eyes. Like you could be like, those are nice blue eyes. I could probably track those. But like,
yeah,
you're not going to be like, oh, that literally the tiny V shape on his face. That's my son. But a man.
Also, I just realized that if the car accident happened when they were kids,
he's been missing and not dead. That's even crazier and Power Rangers.
Just the way that she said, I wish the car accident never happened, I just read it as like he got in a car accident, not he was in a car that was in an accident.
Yeah.
So now it's even crazier because he was like five or six.
And they thought he died.
And he just flew away from a car accident.
I don't know. Pretty excited. Also, yikes. Like, was their mom also in it?
She's not in the picture.
She's not around. And, like, we know that she's dead because of when she was talking with Earl. He's like, you knew my mom, like, in the past
tense. Right, right.
So, like, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue is very good, actually.
Yeah.
I think.
I just wish we could connect to Ryan first so that when he was evil, it had a little more punch.
That's the only...
that's what happened with Tommy, and that's what they can't seem to do again, is, like, establish a character that we like and then make them bad.
And to be fair, that was only one episode, too. Like, he was evil by the end of that episode, so, like, it's not... We don't need a lot of lead time, but... anyway, we got to rank this episode.
Yeah.
We got to rank this boy. I'm thinking high.
I'm thinking top five.
So, well, there's only 10 episodes, so that's top half. Okay. So, last week's episode is number 5. That was the second volcano part. Dr. Fairweather gets trapped in a cave.
That one's pretty good. I don't know if that matches up to this one.
They get new big trains. I think this one is better. Above that is Lightspeed Teamwork. Which had a lot of cool Zord stuff. I think I like this one a little bit better than that, just because there was like actual good drama.
Yeah.
And this one that was American and not, because like you can, Sentai does drama very good. So like if you use the Sentai footage, it's easier to build the drama that way. But like this is all American footage. So
yeah,
kind of a bigger feat. Above that is the first episode. I think it's better than that. I feel like I do.
I think I do.
And then above that is Up to the Challenge, the Frank and Brian episode. Is it better than Frank and Brian?
Oh. Is it better than Frank and Brian? I think it might be.
Is it better than Kelsey meeting the love of her life?
No.
An astronaut.
I don't think it is.
I don't think so either. I'm going to put this at number 2 from Deep in the Shadows. Also, Brian and Ryan rhyme, so.
Yeah, so we're never going to see Brian again.
Nope, sorry, Brian. Rip. What if we did, though?
He has to fight Ryan. What if a titanium powers on a pole match.
What if Brian was Ryan the whole time?
I mean, we joked about it, but what if it happens?
What if it happens? So what's next? What are we watching next time?
The next one is Lightspeed Discovered.
All right, that'll be Friday. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Warfing Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 249 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, episode 11, from Deep in the Shadows.
I think you said 249.
Let's do one more again.
Okay.